Broadcast out of New York City, you're listening to Prescriptions for Health on Monday, March 19th, 2012. I'm Dr. Len Saputo.
And I'm registered nurse Vicki Saputo. Thank you for joining us on our weekly Prescriptions for Health show on ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com every Monday live from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Time and 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And remember that our shows are archived on DrSaputo.com and PRN.FM.
Today, you're going to hear Vicki's 2020 health tips at 20 after the hour and 22 the hour. And we've got a great show for you today. It's going to include more disturbing side effects from chemotherapy that oftentimes go unnoticed.
And is red meat really harmful for your health?
And what about these sugary drinks? We all know they're bad for us, but do they actually cause heart attacks?
And how about fecal transplantation to treat C. difficile?
Well, better than being sick, I suppose. And what about cell phones in pregnancy? Can they cause hyperactivity in kids?
And what's cadmium and how is it linked to breast cancer? And we have much, much more.
All right. So if you want to join in our conversation and have questions about our topics about your health, give us a call at 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888.
Nobody wants to have chemotherapy. It's pretty scary. In fact, sometimes I think it's scarier for people than the diagnosis of cancer itself.
A good point there.
Yeah, there's just a study that just came out of Singapore, and the researchers revealed that recently that breast cancer patients who had received or who were undergoing chemotherapy treatment showed symptoms of what they call chemo brain, with memory loss and difficulty in decision making and speech problems. And these findings revealed that the patients, a lot of times, they weren't even aware of these cognitive disturbances after the treatment. And they thought that their lapse in their cognitive functions were due to fatigue and anxiety and mood changes.
Well, they're so busy being sick, right? They don't really think that anything has happened to their memory or to their decision-making abilities or to the way they speak.
Yeah, they're just kind of overwhelmed by the physical side effects of the chemo. Besides, you know, losing their hair, there's a lot of times nausea and extreme fatigue.
I mean, we have to face it. When you're looking at stage four cancers, when you're looking at the mainstream approaches from our oncologists, you're looking at a 2% and at the very most 3% benefit that occurs from that. That's stunningly terrible. And so we should be being really careful about when we recommend chemotherapy for stage four cancers.
I think a lot of times it's like, well, we need to do something, so let's just do something.
Well, yeah, but what do the oncologists do when they get sick? What do they do for their families? They're not so aggressive about chemotherapy in that setting because it's more personal, but this becomes a business.
Yeah, quality of life is important.
Well, yeah. I mean, what is it without quality of life? You lose your hair. You can't think straight. Don't even know that you don't think straight. And look at all the fatigue. I mean, you look at women with breast cancer who have had chemotherapy. About a third of them have fatigue that goes on for decades.
I've heard stories of people that are so tired from it that they go in to go to the bathroom and they end up lying down on the floor because they're just too tired to get up and go to bed.
Well, I mean, we have to go a long way before we find some solutions for cancer. We're not only over-treating people who have advanced cancer, but we're over-treating people who have early cancers. Look at the ductal carcinoma in situ patients. You know, these are the ones that have the so-called DCIS.
Breast cancer.
Yeah, 98% of those people will die with their cancer, but not from it. The other 2%, yes, they will die from it. But would you treat all those people who don't need it? And basically in medical oncology, that's what we do today. Oh, you have DCIS. We need to take it out first, which is questionable. And second, we got to give you radiation therapy so it doesn't come back and cause a local recurrence. And third, we have to do all the other things with chemotherapy to try and make sure that we've solved the problem.
You know what else is interesting is that there have been studies that have shown that many times cancers come and go, and that also that there are a lot of people that die with cancer rather than from it.
Well, do autopsies on women that are 50 years old from road accidents or some other kind of incidental cause of death, and you'll find that at least 30% of them have cancers. I mean, real cancers that are growing in their breast. But if they're undetected they seem to just disappear on their own. The same thing was done on studies where they looked at x-rays, okay, mammograms of women, and they followed them over 5 years. They did a baseline set. They took like 100,000 women, and they did mammograms on 100,000 women at the beginning of the study, in the middle of the study, and at the end of 5 years. And they found 2,000 cancers, okay, in those women. In the women that just had a mammogram at the end of the study, only found 1,500 cancers. What happened to the other 500? Interesting question.
Maybe the radiation from the mammogram killed it.
Maybe it caused it, you mean, because there are 500 extra cancers that they found in that. So it's very fascinating how we make conclusions about things, especially cancer. And the treatments that we use are barbaric, basically. And what about the complementary and alternative approaches for cancer? They're not even legal in the state of California. And I'm working with the California Citizens for Health Freedom Group with Frank Cooney and a dozen other people. And we're going ahead with legislation to try and change an old public health law that says in the state of California, if you treat cancer with anything besides surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation, it is a felony, which means you lose your license, you're fined, and you go to jail. Now, no one's been prosecuted for that. And we did pass a law back in the year 2004 in the same organization, making it legal for complementary and alternative doctors to be able to do whatever treatment they want, so long as, one, they don't try to dissuade people from the standard treatments that are available, and two, they don't hurt anybody.
Well, aren't doctors supposed to sign something that they're not supposed to hurt anybody else, though?
Well, no, they don't. Well, you take an oath, you know, the Hippocratic Oath, okay? It's supposed to say, first, do no harm. But, I mean, that doesn't happen in clinical practice. We kill 1 million people a year, you know, not intentionally, but that's how many people are dying. Look at Gary Null's study, Death by Medicine. And it tells you about nearly 1 million people. And it's the tip of the iceberg. I mean, look at the study we talked about last week in people who are taking sleeping medications. They predicted that there were somewhere between 300,000 and 500,000 people who died, okay, from early heart disease and cancer and other things, all-cause mortality, every year. And yet we only attribute 400,000 deaths to medications in this country. Those numbers are the tip of the iceberg. What's the real number of the amount of damage that we do in healthcare to people that come to us?
We live in an area where there's a hillside that has a lot of crosses on it to represent everybody that's died in the war.
Mm-hmm.
And we were driving by there the other day talking about how they should have that on the roof of the hospital to show how many people are dying from medical errors or from medications every year. Not just for, I mean, it's a lot more than what it is during the war.
Oh, you look at the number of deaths.
People ignore it. People just don't pay attention, but they pay attention if it's from war or 9/11 or other things like that when there's horrible disasters.
Yeah.
But this is a disaster that we're going through.
Look, just the NSAIDs, things like Advil, Aleve, Motrin, Celebrex, and the drugs that have been taken off the market, they cause 30,000 deaths a year.
And I mean, there have been that. And 300,000 hospitalizations.
Yeah, that's maybe the tip of the iceberg as well. So what are we talking about here? I mean, this is a massive thing. And the question that I have to ask myself as a practicing doctor is, do we do more good or more harm? And you know, we don't know the answer to that. We have no idea how many people we're killing, aside from what Gary Null has published. Well, how many people did we save? You really don't know.
Well, let's talk about some of the things that might help this brain fog.
Oh, yeah.
There's things like ginkgo biloba, some of the essential fatty acids.
Maybe. I think just good brain health, a healthy diet, using your mind, you know, to do things like going to Google and, you know, doing some kind of search or doing a crossword puzzle or being socially active. All those things will help stimulate the brain because in a lot of ways this is like Alzheimer's disease.
Well, also, isn't an alkaline diet helpful and, well, basically a healthy lifestyle? But when you're feeling sick like that, it's kind of hard to be living a healthy lifestyle. You don't feel much like exercising and doing all the things that go along with that. But there are some alternative things that have been helpful with people that have cancer that I think that they might want to think about.
Well, you look at the stats like we talked about here of people who are benefited from stage four cancers, and the number is about 2.1% in this country. It was 2.3% in a study done out of Australia. Well, that's pathetic. Number of people that are helped. And you look at somebody like John Forsyth. I just listened to Dr. John Forsyth give a lecture for the Orthomolecular Health Medicine Society. And he's talking about 30 to 50% of people who are in his studies, and this is his data, are improving who have stage four cancer. Why wouldn't we want to think about doing complementary and alternative approaches? Things that are safe that don't hurt you either. I mean, they don't have the toxic side effects that you see with conventional treatment. And our people in California are having to go to Mexico or to other states like Nevada, where it's legal to do things like that, and people are getting the treatment that they prefer. There is no medical freedom in this country. It just doesn't exist.
When you're sick like that, you'd much rather be able to be at home and be close to your loved ones and people to, you know, support and help to take care of you. But, you know, there are things, and we have some of them on our website at drsaputo.com, that can be helpful for cancer. Artemisinin, the methyl jasminate, some of that insulin potentiated therapy, IV vitamin C.
Yeah.
Those are things that people might want to consider.
These are all great things. Well, the lines are open. This is Prescriptions for Health. I'm Dr. Len Saputo here with Nurse Vicki. The number is 888-874-4888. And we'll be back taking your calls after Vicki's first 2020 tip.
Is the best medicine, and I'm blonde, so I can tell a few blonde jokes, I think, and it's okay. Oh, they're back. There was a blonde and her husband. They're lying in bed. They're listening to the next door neighbor's dog, which has been barking in their backyard for hours, and the blonde jumps out of bed, and she says, "I've had enough of this," and she goes downstairs, and when she finally comes back to bed, her husband says, "Well, the dog's still barking. What have you been doing?" She says, "Well, I put the dog in our backyard. Let's just see how they like it."
Oh, jeez, Vicki. That's great.
And here are a couple of blondes with hammers, Lynn and Judy, and they're doing some carpenter work on Habitat for Humanity House. And Lynn was nailing down some house siding, and she would reach into her nail pouch and she'd pull out a nail and she'd either toss it over her shoulder or she'd nail it in. And finally, Judy, figuring that this was worth looking into, asked, "Why are you throwing those nails away?" And Lynn explained, "When I pull a nail out of my pouch, about half of them have the head on the wrong end and I throw them away." Well, Judy got completely upset and yelled, "You moron, those nails aren't defective. They're for the other side of the house."
Oh, that's too funny.
And did you hear about the two blondes who froze to death in a drive-in movie? They'd gone to see Closed for the Winter. Have a couple more. There's a blonde driving home after a game, and she got caught in a really bad hailstorm, and her car was covered with dents. So the next day, she took it to the repair shop, and the owner saw that she was blonde, so he decided to have some fun. So he told her to go home and blow into the tailpipe really hard and all the dents would pop out. So the blonde went home, got down on her hands and knees and started blowing into her tailpipe. Well, nothing happened, so she blew a little harder. Still nothing happened. Her blonde roommate saw her and asked, "What are you doing?" The first blonde told her how the repairman had instructed her to blow into the tailpipe in order to get all the dents to pop out. And the roommate rolled her eyes and said, "Like, hello, you need to roll up the windows first."
Oh, jeez. Oh, this is not a good day for blondes, Vicki.
Well, I'm blonde, so it's okay. Here's another one. She goes into work one morning crying her eyes out. Her boss asks sympathetically, "What's the matter?" And the blonde replied, "Well, early this morning, I got a phone call saying that my mother had passed away." And the boss, feeling sorry for her, says, "Well, why don't you go home for the day? Take the day off to relax and rest." And she says, "Well, thanks, but I'd be better off here. I need to keep my mind off of it, and I have the best chance of doing that here." So the boss agrees and allows the blonde to work as usual. And a couple hours pass, and the boss decides to check on the blonde. And he looks out of his office window and sees her crying hysterically. He says, "What's so bad now? Are you going to be okay?" "No! I just received a horrible call from my sister. Her mother died too.
Oh, jeez. Come on, Vicki.
Laughter is the best medicine.
Laughter is great medicine.
It helped Norman Cousins. Wasn't that who it helped?
It helps lots of people. You bet. Helps everybody. Those endorphins go a long way. What you think affects your biochemistry and physiology big time. And if you're in a good mood, those endorphins come out and they do healing work. So it's worth doing that.
So if you're blonde, laugh with us.
Yeah, really.
Don't be
why
offended.
Not? The lines are open. This is Prescriptions for Health. I'm Dr. Len Sabuda here with Nurse Vicki. The number is 888-874-4888. And we have a call from Alan from Brooklyn. Hi, Alan. Are you there?
Hello?
Hi, Alan. How you doing?
Okay. Thanks for taking my call. I was wondering if you guys ever heard of double helix water.
I actually haven't. I know a fair amount about water, but I haven't heard that term. What's it like? What's the story with it, Alan?
I heard it on WBAI on one of the programs there, and it's something about the purest form of water, and if you mix it, it's supposed to... They did these, what's it called when they examine the body with heat,
thermography.
And they did a test on a person that had a lot of inflammation, and a few minutes after they drank the water, the thermography showed the inflammation was going down. So if you haven't heard of it, you could Google double helix water and, get more information that way. And
Alan, when you do a study like that with thermography, and I'd have to say I'm an expert in thermography. I do it in clinical practice every day. That's a very sensitive test that needs to be done under very controlled conditions. Now, there may be something to double helix water, but I don't know what it is. But the main thing is that there is water, and then there's water. There's like a rose is a rose is a rose. The water you get out of the tap is not suitable for human consumption in almost every area of the country. Our reservoir waters are terrible. What we need to be drinking is water that's living water, meaning what I mean by that is we should have healthy water that is organized in a way where it's alkaline and where it's micro-clustered. And what I mean by that is most of the water we're consuming is acidic, which is not good for our body. You can do machines that will turn water into alkaline and acid water by hydrolysis. You can consume the part that is alkaline, and the acid part you can just send down the drain. It also makes water in different sizes. The molecules are polar, which means that they bond together in clusters. And when they do, they can be of varying sizes. And some of the waters have just one or two water molecules in it. And some of the water clusters have 15 or 20. Now, a cell is not just a sack full of water. It's organized in a lattice that's very sophisticated. And if you don't take in water that has the right number of clusters in it, it can't get to the part of the cell where it needs to go. And there's a lot of interesting work that's been done by this by Japanese people and also by Dr. Beverly Rubik in this country. You should look up Beverly Rubik, R-U-B-I-K. She's a PhD biophysicist from UC Berkeley, who's published a lot of work on water and maybe listen to some of her lectures, which are online, that talk about this. So
I was just looking it up on a Google here, and it says it naturally increases endurance and performance to reduce the recovery times between intense workouts, and it's used a lot by bodybuilders.
Well, what is it? Does it say what it is? You see, I'm going to have to look this up, and maybe next week we'll talk about it a little bit. So thank you for calling, Alan. It's a great topic. I mean, the water that we consume needs to be improved, because if we're made of close to 70% water, and water holds memory, it in homeopathic medicine is a huge issue. So it's something we need to pay attention to. Thanks for the call. The lines are open. This is Prescriptions for Health. I'm Dr. Len Sabuda here with Nurse Vicki. The number again is 888-874-4888.
A few years ago, red meat consumption went up with you know, the Atkins diet. And red meat's been controversial for some time now. And the Harvard School of Public Health researchers just found that red meat consumption is associated with an increased risk of total cardiovascular and cancer mortality. And the results also showed that substituting other healthy protein sources, such as fish, poultry, nuts, and legumes, was associated with a lower risk of mortality. But don't you think that some of this would be whether the meat was, you know, the regular conventional meat that's in the stores that's full of pesticides and
hormones and antibiotics.
And
the meat you buy at your normal stores is toxic. It's not fit for human consumption.
Because they don't distinguish between that and, say, grass-fed, you know, range-fed or wild game.
Well, there's a huge difference there. I mean, and to do a study like this is very misleading. And it's published in what? Archives of Internal Medicine in March of this year. And I'd have to say, the study tells you something, but the point that they're making is lost. I mean, it's not the right point. The point that we should be stressing is that it's stuff that we're eating from most grocery stores is crap. And what we should be doing is having meat that's range-fed, that's organic, or eating wild game, you know, just like our ancestors did. You look at the Weston Price work, it's tremendous, and it shows that eating meat of whatever kind you want, as long as it's healthy meat, is fine. The saturated fat in it is fine as well. It's very interesting that we have studies that generalize like this particular study did. And I think that they're remiss in not telling the whole story because they're giving people the idea that all meat is bad for you. And that's just simply not true. And you look at the style, okay, of the kinds of meat that people are eating. I mean, fish is meat, poultry is meat, and those are healthy things. In fact, they lowered mortality. So we have to be careful when we publish things. I don't care if they come out of Harvard or not, or they're using the most famous researchers in the world to put out their information.
And they also
it's misleading.
And they also didn't say if it was processed meat.
Well, they talked about processed meat. And they compared the regular meat with meat that was processed. And there they found that the risk for death went up a lot. I mean, it was 13% higher for people who had meat that was regular meat, and 20% if it was processed, as far as cardiovascular mortality was concerned. And for cancer, it was 10% higher if you had regular meat and 16% if you had processed meat. So I think there's something to that, but you got to look at the quality of the meat.
Well, the other thing, too, is, you know, about the saturated fat, and it carries a lot of these things like the pesticides and the toxins.
Well, that's right, but the saturated fat from a range-fed animal is just fine. Mm-hmm. The lines are open. This is Prescriptions for Health. I'm Dr. Len Sabuda here with Nurse Vicki. The number is 888-874-4888. And we'll be back taking your calls after a short station break. You're listening to Prescriptions for Health. I'm Dr. Len Sabuda here with Nurse Vicki. The number is 888-874-4888, and we have a call from Don from Washington. Hi, Don. Are you there?
Good morning.
How are you?
I appreciate your program.
Thank you.
I'm an older guy, and I'm over the last 10 years, I've had an increasing number of growths and spots and all sorts of stuff on top of my head and on my and on my face.
Mm-hmm.
And the only medication I take is Quinapril in a very low dosage.
What medicine do you take?
Quinapril, you know, for hypertension.
You mean lisinopril?
Well, it's an
Prinivil. Okay,
it's another generic form, which is supposed to be better for kidneys.
Okay, yes, I understand. Okay.
Okay, is there something to what lifestyle changes do you recommend that I can cut down on the number of skin cancers and liver spots and little moles? And
well, Don, do you mind if I ask how old you are?
I'm 74.
Oh, well, you're just a punk. You're not that old.
Well, you've already done a lot of the damage from being in the sun a lot.
Yeah.
Are you balding
or are you bald now?
Yes.
Okay.
I've been bald all my life.
Do you wear a hat?
Yes.
Okay, and do you use skin block of sunblock of some kind?
Never.
Well, that may be what's happening. You know, a little bit of sun, like 20 to 30 minutes a day of sun where we expose most of our body, is absolutely necessary to be able to make vitamin D. And we've got this huge epidemic of vitamin D that's a big problem. And at the same time, if you get too much sun, you'll wind up with skin cancers. I mean, that's a well-known fact. So you may want to, on the areas where you have these lesions, is to get some sunblock. And you don't have to, you know, 15% SPF is fine. It does a good job of...
the trick is to find a healthy one.
What is that?
You can get some...
sunscreens, but the trick is to find healthy sunscreens. There's a couple that I can recommend that I have on our website. One of them is the Child's Sunscreen by Marie Veronique, and the other one is called Cabana.
Yeah, if you go to the website, Don, just go to drsaputo.com and go, and in the search box, put Vicky's Corner. Up will come a whole list of free information that talks about healthy skincare products and household cleaning agents that I think will be very useful for you. In fact, all of our listeners should be doing that because was it just about 25 years ago, Vicky was close to dead from complications that led to toxicity from skincare products and from household cleaning agents and from foods that aren't healthy. So she's made a career out of learning this, and all that information is free on drsaputo.com. So those are the things I would think about. And if you're going to avoid sun, you definitely should be taking some vitamin D supplementation. And the first thing to do is to measure your vitamin D level. Then I would be sure that you had enough essential fatty acids, things like the fish oil or krill oil. I would have at least a capsule of that a day. And I would use some gamma linolenic acid in the form of either borage oil, black currant oil, or evening primrose oil. Those are very good sources because that makes the waterproofing of the skin. So,
and also, if you're going to be out in the sun more than the 20 minutes to get your vitamin D, you should probably wear long sleeves and, you know, and your hat. But you probably need to go to a dermatologist and get some of those checked and taken care of.
Right. Now, these are suggestions to think about, Don. We don't give advice on this show because you're not a patient, and it would be illegal to do that and the wrong thing to do anyway. So these are ideas to consider. So thanks for calling, and I hope that helped you.
Thanks for your time.
You're welcome. The lines are open. This is Prescriptions for Health. I'm Dr. Len Saputo here with Nurse Vicky. The number is 888-874-4888.
Usually we think of sugar-sweetened drinks, you know, the mostly the sodas and so forth.
And the fruit juices,
fruit juices associated with diabetes. But here's a study that is linking it to heart attacks.
Yeah, well, see, what these people did is they looked at people who were age 40 to 75 and having about 12 ounces of a soda every day. And what they found is that there was a 20% increased risk for heart disease. Now, they studied 42,000 people over 22 years, and this was done out of the Harvard School of Public Health. So, again, an interesting study. They also found that people that only had a couple of drinks a week didn't have any effect. They also found no effect from diet drinks. But there was another study of 2,500 people that we talked about a couple of weeks ago in the Journal of General Internal Medicine that showed a 43% increase in heart attacks and strokes. But for people who had less than seven a week or had sugary drinks, there wasn't any change. So
depends on which study you read.
Well, it does to an extent, you know, and people get their minds made up that things are going to turn out a certain way. And I certainly agree that we have an issue here that's a big one in terms of taking in things like high fructose corn syrup, which I don't recommend, and taking in the artificial sweeteners, which I absolutely don't recommend.
You know, so, a friend of mine the other day asked me if I'd pick up a frappuccino for her. And so out of curiosity, I asked the guy, I said, what's in that frappuccino? Oh, my gosh. Besides the coffee and the chocolate syrup, there's also coffee flavoring. And there's high fructose corn syrup that they add to it.
Yeah.
And then plus there's whipped cream that's just full of all the fat and the
It's not organic.
You know, it's not real whipped cream, I don't think.
It's probably Cool Whip or something like that, which I would never put on my.
But that's not a healthy cocktail. But anyway, sugary drinks contain things that increase your triglycerides, which are the harmful fats in your blood. It increases your CRP, your C-reactive protein, which increases inflammation. It lowers your good cholesterol. It lowers the HDL. So these are things to be aware of, and this is just from sugar.
You're right. So pay attention to what you put in your body, because what you put in your body is going to determine what your health is to a large extent. The lines are open. This is Prescriptions for Health. I'm Dr. Len Saputo here with Nurse Vicki. The number is 888-874-4888. And we'll be back taking your calls after Vicki's last 2020 tip.
Have some more things to increase our laughter here.
More blonde jokes?
Well, these are adult truths okay. to help us all laugh at ourselves, because laughter is the best medicine. Have you ever looked down at your watch like three consecutive times and still not known what time it is?
I don't remember doing that. No.
Well, that's because you don't wear a watch.
Oh, well, that's true.
Well, anyway, I know I have. You know, too, nothing sucks more than the moment during an argument when you realize that you're wrong.
You're right.
And wouldn't you like to take back all those times that you didn't want to take a nap when you were young? And do you agree that there's a great need for a sarcasm font?
Oh, I never thought of that. That's interesting. And give people a warning before it comes on, huh?
And have you ever thought, you probably haven't, but the women have. Have you ever thought about how the heck you're supposed to fold a fitted sheet? I know Martha Stewart has some way to do that.
Oh, all right.
And was learning cursive really necessary?
Wow. My writing as a doctor is certainly not good cursive.
Don't you think that MapQuest really needs to start their directions on number 5? I'm pretty sure I know how to get out of my neighborhood.
You're right.
And obituaries, wouldn't they be a lot more interesting if they told you how the person died?
Yeah, really.
And have you ever noticed that bad decisions make good stories later?
Sure do.
You never know when it'll strike, but there comes a moment at work when you know that you just aren't going to do anything productive for the rest of the day. I'm always slightly terrified when I exit out of Word and it asks me if I want to save any changes to my 10-page technical report that I swear I didn't make any changes to. Do you keep some people's phone numbers in your phone just so you know not to answer when they call?
That's the truth, isn't it? Yes, I do, as a matter of fact.
Got you on that one,
huh? You did.
And don't you think the freezer deserves a light as well?
Isn't
I can't
the silliest
even believe
thing?
That. We bought this refrigerator,
a new refrigerator
that we put in the garage for some extra things. And I go out in the garage is dark.
You got to put a flashlight in there.
Yeah, you do.
Still can't see, yeah.
And I have a hard time deciphering the fine line between boredom and hunger.
Oh, that's the truth. That's the solution for boredom, isn't it?
And how many times is it appropriate to say what before you just nod and smile because you still don't hear or understand a word that they said?
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, two more. Even under ideal conditions, people have trouble locating their car keys in a pocket, finding their cell phone, and pinning a tail on the donkey. But I'll bet everybody can find and push the snooze button from 3 feet away in about 1.7 seconds, closed, eyes closed, first time, every time.
That's really true. That's so right.
The first testicular guard, the cup, was used in hockey in 1874. And the first helmet, think about this, was used in 1974. That means it only took 100 years for men to realize that their brain is also important.
Oh, my gosh, Vicki, you're ruthless. Blondes and men really took it in the chin today.
Yeah.
The lines are open. This is Prescriptions for Health. I'm Dr. Len Saputo here with Nurse Vicki. The number is 888-874-4888.
We've had a lot of talk about C. difficile. This is an infection that gives people diarrhea, and it used to be just you'd get this when you were in the hospital. But if you were a debilitated person after you took a large course of antibiotics. Mm-hmm. And now people are starting to get it even when they're at home. And there are a lot of people that are carriers of it and everything.
Well, it's a very serious infection that is lethal, maybe in close to 10% of people. And there are about 300,000 cases every year. And now they're outside the hospital, too, as Vicki was saying, and about 3% of people are carrying this stuff without any symptoms.
So now they've come up with this great solution. Actually, well, it's not new, but...
We've been doing this for 25 years.
But they're finally talking about it out
loud.
Well,
somebody finally did a study, got published in a journal, and all of a sudden now it's the cat's meow.
So and they get a hold of some poop from somebody else.
Well, look at
it. And
they
put it in a blender, and then they put it up in, with a colonoscopy.
Yeah, up into the cecum. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, think of it this way. People die from this disease. The treatment that's used in mainstream medicine is close to idiotic, and I'll say it just that way, because what they're doing is they're interfering with the microbes that live in the gut with the idea of trying to kill the C. difficile microbe because it's causing what's called a pseudomembranous colitis, which causes bloody diarrhea that can actually perforate and cause peritonitis and be lethal. So you want to do what you can. So they're using a really powerful antibiotic that can have side effects that are a problem. But the logic of it is crazy because look at what we're talking about. We've got a microflora in the gut that has about 1,000 different species of microbes that live in a very complex ecosystem. And in this ecosystem, things have to be in the right balance. When they get out of balance because you take an antibiotic or you're sick or you're taking some drug that affects the microbes that live in the gut, it's going to change. And if you're weak and your immune system isn't doing well, bugs like the C. difficile bug can overgrow.
And they get resistant to the antibiotics.
Yeah, so what's the solution? Do we go in there and just kill all the bugs so that we have to reforest the whole place again like when there's a forest fire? You can't go in and throw a few redwood tree, seeds out there and think you're going to have a forest in a month or two.
Because some of the bacteria is friendly bacteria. That's what the probiotics are. And many times what they do is they can crowd out the bad bacteria.
Absolutely. They do a lot of other things for us. And if you want more information about that, just go to the website at drsaputo.com and put dysbiosis, D-Y-S-B-I-O-S-I-S, into the search box, and a whole lot of things will come up that will teach you about the ecosystem of the gut. So in the mainstream, what we're doing is going there killing everything, and of course, a lot of the time, it doesn't work, and that's why people are dying from this disease. But you could take stool from a healthy person, blend it, because they've got the right mixture there, and put that up in the cecum, and it does save lives, but it's a big deal to do. And it takes 12 weeks for this all to change. But the good news is after a year, people are back pretty much to normal. But there's an easier way to do it that works much better. And that's just to give probiotics. You can give them from the top down. You don't have to be putting them from the bottom up. And as much, I think, of coffee enemas, you go down to the Gerson Clinic and you get your coffee rectally. And of course, when I went down there just to find out about how it worked, I took mine by mouth. Now, I'm not saying that it isn't a good procedure that detoxifies. I know it is. But there are many different ways of thinking. You don't need to do a colonic, okay, to try and clean out the gut. You could do that, but you don't need to. You can take the probiotics, a little L-glutamine, which is a major metabolic fuel of the small intestine, and add something like Ultra Clear Sustain. There are a lot of products like this that feed the gut what it needs to become stronger, and maybe add some licorice root extract, which beefs up the immune system, the secretory immunoglobulin A, that we need in our gut to be able to defend against things like C. diff and candida and many other microbes that shouldn't be there.
And what about the Saccharomyces boulardii?
Another good way to prevent this in the first place. There have been very good studies that show that if you put people who are in the hospital on Saccharomyces boulardii, which is just a friendly yeast, it tends to protect against getting C. diff and other kinds of infections in the gut, particularly for people who are in antibiotics. I mean, you take a course of powerful antibiotics because you have an infection in the hospital. That's understandable. But do you really want to expose yourself to yeast overgrowth syndromes, getting that candida to grow that causes all kinds of problems like vaginitis and thrush and bowel problems that are related to candida? No. So I don't laugh when I hear fecal transplantation for C. diff because it is a resort that we can use that's a good idea if we need it. It's not the first thing I think of, and I would do the system that I just mentioned to you that uses the products that I think are so effective maintaining a normal ecosystem in the gut.
Well, I hope all these studies are going to encourage mainstream doctors to think about the other side of things than giving antibiotics to cure the germ that gets in the intestine.
Well, we way overdo it. I mean, we think about it. We think like there's a war going on between the medical profession and Mother Nature. And so we're trying to kill the microbe or kill the cancer or kill whatever it is that's the problem instead of trying to support wellness.
Just like pasteurization. Now they're pasteurizing the fruit juices.
Oh, I know.
The almonds and I don't know. They keep
eating
everything.
They're wrecking the natural way that things are prepared by nature. We should be working in harmony with nature. We should be, you know, the old argument between pasture and Beauchamp comes up every single time we talk about this. And this, you know, a couple hundred years ago, pasture said, no, it's the microbe that causes the problem. And Beauchamp said, no, it's the receptivity of the person's immune system that allows an infection to grow. And so they argued, it's this, no, it's that. And, of course, what's the answer? The answer is very straightforward. It's both. So you want to use your mind and be flexible. And it's okay to use an antibiotic if you've got an infection that's a big deal. But I'll tell you, I rarely use medications in my practice, and I rarely use antibiotics,
well,
but I do.
And antibiotics are to be taken seriously. You don't just take an antibiotic because you have a cold.
No. Well, I mean, what's one of the most common causes of deafness in this country? It's antibiotic use.
The most common
cause One of the what? Most common causes of deafness. Have you been on antibiotics? Can't hear me.
What?
Yeah, no. So, I mean, that's an important thing to know about. And, of course, all the cases of small bowel problem or just intestinal problems because we wipe out the normal flora of the gut. I remember 20 years ago talking about probiotics to the gastroenterologist, and they looked at me like I was crazy.
Well, also, if a person's on an antibiotic, it's a good idea to take some probiotics with it, and yogurt's probably not enough.
No, it's probably not, but it's one of the best ways to get in probiotics that survive. It's when you're taking in fermented milk products, that works very well as an environment for the probiotic to live. But we can take probiotics that have up to 100 billion. You know, you can look at your VSL number 3, which is a prescription probiotic, that's way overpriced. I mean, anytime you're looking at pharmaceutical industry making something, they just gouge the hell out of you. But if there are many probiotics that are made by good companies like Designs for Health, which is what we use on our website a lot, I think is a wonderful way to go to provide good products that don't cost that much to get the job done.
And that's usually one that has the lactobacillus acidophilus is a good
It's got lots of them. There are about 8 or 10 different kinds of microbes that should be in there that help to support the normal flora of the intestinal tract. So when we look at fecal transplantation, it sounds, oh, man, that's wild. There's a place for it. And sometimes there's even a place for vancomycin, but I haven't found it yet. I just usually find out that whenever I say this is not good for anything, that I'm wrong, that there is a time that I might consider doing that, even though I can't imagine it in this case. I'm sure it exists. The lines are open. The number's 888-874-4888. You're listening to Prescriptions for Health.
We know that pregnant women shouldn't drink alcohol, and they shouldn't take drugs, and they shouldn't smoke because they can all be harmful to the baby. Well, now there's something else to add to the list. Guess what it is? Cell phone usage.
Isn't that something?
You know, the Yale School of Medicine researchers determined that exposure to radiation from cell phones during pregnancy affects the brain development of the offspring, potentially leading to hyperactivity.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's no surprise that electromagnetic fields can be a problem. And we've all heard a lot of things about cell phones, and it's all, a lot of it is guesswork. And also, I think the studies that probably aren't guesswork, people don't want to hear the answer because it's a huge industry. I mean, it's billions in this industry, and people don't want to give up their cell phones.
Well, look, we're exposed to electromagnetic fields everywhere we go. Look at your house. You've got lights on all the time. You've got hair dryers. You've got all kinds of electronic equipment that's going. Cell phones have it. You'd have to be naive to think that electromagnetic fields don't interact with the electromagnetic fields of the human body. They obviously would. The problem is we don't study it, so we don't have any idea about a lot of what it does. We're so far behind the change in physics that moved from Newtonian physics to look at quantum physics and how that operates, that it's a joke. We're 100 years behind the times. When are we going to start moving from the biochemical paradigm, which we're immersed in, thinking that's all the answers that run the body, to the electromagnetics, to things that have to do with quantum physics? Because that's where the real action is. And I think that the biochemistry just follows all the business that's related to other kinds of energy that we don't know the first thing about, actually. We can describe things like electricity and magnetism and gravity, but we haven't got a clue what they really are. And other than describing them, we're stuck.
We're just a grand experiment, aren't we?
Well, basically, that's right.
Because we allow all these new inventions and without testing them enough.
Well, everybody likes the idea of having things that do things for us. We like our toys. I mean, look at you're sitting in front of a computer, or you've got this electronic sound system we're using. You're listening to the radio, or you're watching television. All these things do something to us. And we don't know all, we know very little about how that works. We don't really know much about light. You know, every chemical reaction that ever happens, there's an exchange of light. We're absorbing light and we're giving off light with every reaction that occurs. What about the role of light, you know, in medicine? You know, we're starting to use this photon stimulator, which I've been using for more than 10 years now, and seeing the effects that it has on healing and the effects it has on pain and on lymphatic drainage and on inflammation. And it's magical the way that it works. And do we understand how it does it? Not really. But it's like an outcome study. You turn the light on somebody and you see what it does. And if it does something good, you do it some more. We need a lot more research, and fortunately, we finally got some money from the National Institutes of Health at the University of California, San Francisco. They gave the UCSF people $6 million to do our study, which, of course, we're doing with them, to look at how infrared light therapy can help people have chemotherapy-induced neuropathy. Anyway, we're near the end of our program. I want to thank you all for joining us and remind you that we're here every Monday. We'd like to let you know that we'll be back to talk about what's new in the news in health and take your health questions every Monday afternoon on PRN.FM and on drsaputo.com from 1 to 2 Eastern Time and 10 to 11 Pacific Time. Prescriptions for Health will also be archived on drsaputo.com as well as prn.fm.
And if you've enjoyed today's show and you'd like to have more information on the topics we discussed, go to drsaputo.com and check out our fast track videos. And remember, lifestyle is the most powerful healer in the universe. So if you want to be well, pay attention to the style in which you live your life.
Brent, I just want to remind you of one more thing. We have over 2,000 audios and videos on drsaputo.com. This site is 100% free. It doesn't cost a penny to do anything, to use any of the educational materials there. We have a whole bunch of health surveys, 30 health surveys that talk about your health and makes assessments of them that take under 3 minutes, that will then link to different audios and videos that Vicki and I have put together that will answer those questions that you want to know about your health. So go to drsaputo.com. Let us know how it works. Have a wonderful week.